The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome all of you back. It's great to have you with us on the second half of the show. We mentioned the Jeremy Pruitt situation. Pat Forte joined us about 2 hours ago with some scathing comments about Jeremy Pruitt, as well as what could or could not happen in this NCAA investigation. Different perspective now from Gentry Estes, who covers the entire sports scene, both in Nashville and across the state, saying, while serious, the idea that serious sanctions could happen are probably a thing of the past. Gentry, thank you. We've had many conversations over the years, looking forward to this one very much. So give us your thoughts, first of all, on what we learned Friday in the release by the university.
So we find out that there were 18 alleged violations. I mean, obviously, that's a lot. I think you knew this has been out there since January of last year when Tennessee first fired Jeremy Pruitt. They held a press conference saying how serious these violations were. I said kind of from that point, you're not going to be able to walk that back. I think it was in the interest of perhaps trying to get out of a $12.6 million buyout that case was being made. But I think we saw with the notice of allegations that, you know, these 18 level one violations, that's serious. That's enough to probably get Tennessee out of that buyout. I would think, given the language of the contract, it's going to be awfully hard for Jeremy Pruitt to get his money. Now, having said that, you know, and Tennessee broke the rules. They broke the rules then. They broke what would be the rules now. You know, no getting out of that. They'll be punished for it. But when you really looked at what they're accused of doing here, it felt, and I wrote this, it felt like kind of sorting through a time capsule a little bit. It's a relic in the NIL era, in the NIL future, that they're accused basically in the 18 violations is a total of about $60,000. Now, compare that. You would have to multiply that 210 times to get to the $12.6 million buyout. And you're also now contrasting that with million-dollar NIL deals that are going to be out there for recruits. It's fascinating to me to see how these things are going to be judged by the infractions committee by the standard currently of NIL. Now, I understand what Tennessee's accused of doing and what Jeremy Pruitt's accused of doing would not be legal even, you know, under the current setup. But at the same time, you're talking about a coach who may not ever get another college job because of this sort of thing, over 60 grand. And there were some things in there, Paul, living expenses, medical bills, paying rent, car payments. I mean, they're not out there doing anything particularly egregious, at least according to what was in that notice of allegation. So you kind of look at that and you say, well, you know, okay, it's against the rules. They're going to have an infractions case. They deserve to have one. But let's have some common sense here. And I think what NIL has allowed us to be able to do is to have some common sense on this kind of things. When you're talking about people getting financial help who, in a lot of cases, probably needed it.
Well, that's an interesting thing you said there. I'm sure they did. And I'm sure young people until NIL deserved a lot more. But we both know you can't rationalize it, though, that way. That's not that's never, at least to my knowledge, going to work when you're arguing a case in front of the NCAA.
Certainly not. And I think what Tennessee did here, they cooperated. And I haven't agreed with that strategy from the start. I think, you know, you would love to think that the NCAA would take that into account, and maybe they will, but maybe they won't. They tend to make things up as they go along, as Pete Thamel said to you. And I think, you know, basically one of the sure ways to make yourself vulnerable with NCAA infractions in this day and age is to hand them the knife and then turn around and walk away so they can stab you in the back with it. And I think that's kind of what Tennessee did here. They cooperated.
But Jerry, tell me this, though. Gentry, tell me this, because I know that was – I think there, you could take any side you wanted when we heard that first news conference, and we all know it was about $12.5 million. But do you think that will help their case significantly with the NCAA, because they are really an undependable organization, and they love to say what they did Friday, the university, you know, was extremely cooperative. By the way, I've read that before, and they still get hammered.
No doubt.
But in this case, you almost have to think with the changing wind of the NCAA. We don't even know if the NCAA is an organization any longer. There's no real proof of it based on the leadership of Mark Emmert. What the capabilities are.
Well, and I think with the emergence of NIL, you wonder. I think that was a move, and you could go any number of directions with whether NIL is a good thing for college sports. I know what coaches say. I know what administrators would say. I personally have believed it was a good thing for no other reason. Let's end the hypocrisy of having to be so appalled at a college athlete getting a few hundred dollars. For years and years, this was considered just so scandalous. And I think the hypocrisy of that is going away in the current era. But what you have is you still have these lingering cases like what Tennessee has, where the NCAA and the infractions committee is going to have to decide, does the current standard, will it be affected by what's the changes that are made, or are we going to hold everybody to the letter of the law before? This isn't the only, I mean, there's several, the FBI basketball investigation, a lot of that stuff's still out there too. And I think it's a big question of how lenient are you given the fact that the landscape has changed so much. And I just think when you look at what Tennessee did, it's just not as scandalous in the current climate as it would have been before. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be punished. They didn't break the rules. They did. And Jeremy Pruitt certainly paid the price for that. A lot of his coaches paid the price for that. But it's just one of the tangents here under NIL is to say how that affects the infractions process when you're going to have recruits who are coming in making exponentially more than $60,000.
A couple of other questions, Gentry. Would you agree that Jeremy Pruitt is done for at least a considerable period of time in college coaching?
I think so. I think this is the kind of case that will probably result in some sort of show cause. Now, I don't know that. I would, again, good luck for any of us predicting what the NCAA is going to do from an infraction standpoint. But I think he'll probably receive some kind of show cause. And, he coached this last season in the NFL, and I tend to think that's probably where he'll continue to be.
I have heard various things about him being on staffs, helping here. What, do we know where he is and what he's doing?
I don't think he is anywhere now. Okay. I guess I could be wrong on that, but I don't think so. And look, let's be honest. If this wasn't hanging over his head, how long do you think it would take a Nick Saban or a Kirby Smart to bring him in as an analyst? I mean, he would be
about 5 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes would be an exaggeration. It would be in 5 seconds.
Absolutely, and so I think this hanging over him is clearly a problem that I don't think is going to be going away anytime soon. And I understand from the perspective of Tennessee, you're talking about a coach who had a terrible final season. And I think he was probably not very popular inside the building and somebody they probably wanted to part ways with, and they had a way to do it.
Gentry, has anybody talked to, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he made a lot of noise, some lawyer in Knoxville who was threatening scorched earth on the University of Tennessee. Has he been heard from?
No, and it's a good question. I'm pretty sure that's the same attorney who represented the coach of Kansas, who had a scenario in which they were able to bring a case and say that his firing had a lot to do with finding a way around a buyout, and that they were trying to draw some parallels. Now, I don't know if that would necessarily hold up as well in this instance. Say what you want about how wise Tennessee was to kind of tell on themselves from the start here the way they did. It may not have been the most effective strategy in avoiding NCAA sanctions, but it was an effective strategy, I think, in probably making sure they don't have to pay that buyout.
And finally, Philip Fulmer, who has streets named after him, is the last Tennessee coach to win a national championship, who looked like this was going to be a long-term job where everyone was going to love on him and toast him for all of his accomplishments. He was clearly pushed out. I mean, it was awkward and painful to watch for those of us who have always respected him. I'm not saying he's going to be marched through town with a scarlet letter, but what do you think the legacy of Phil Fulmer is going to be, and how is this ugly incident change him? Because he did, for whatever reason, inexplicably as it may have been, give Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension in the midst of a rather terrible tenure.
He did it right before that 2020 season, and it's funny you bring that up because, he certainly deserves the blame for that, but a lot of the administration that's still in Knoxville signed off on that too. And I think in terms of his legacy, honestly, Paul, from what I detect, I don't think it's impacted it as much as you might think, given how ugly that whole situation was. You go to basketball games at Tennessee now, Philip Fulmer's still there. He's still very much a presence around the university, around the athletic department. Now he's not obviously not making decisions. I think things have changed significantly with an AD and Danny White, who's come in and been a strong presence on his own, and I think has worked to try to change quite a few things over there. But at the same time, I think Philip Fulmer will always be someone who is greatly respected and welcomed around Tennessee athletics. I've seen nothing since then that would suggest otherwise, despite how poorly the end was.
Yeah, it's amazing what winning will do in the platform of college athletics. It tends to make us forget pretty much everything. We both have seen that way too many times. Well, Gentry, thank you. I think you're right, by the way. I don't think this is going to be a big deal. We'll probably find out the final disposition of the NCAA case probably in about 2035.
Yeah, exactly. No, you don't hold your breath, you know.
Great to have you on. Gentry Estes.
Take care.
From the Tennessee, and always a great guest. And we are just mowing through the program right now. We're not done yet. We hope you'll stick around.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us here. And what an interesting program it's been. Let's check in with Scott next in New Orleans. Hey, Scott.
Hello. Hey, this is Scott from North Carolina.
Well, great. Thank you, Scott. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing, brother?
Scott, we're doing great.
I hope everybody's staying safe and everybody's healthy.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say.
My question for you today, and I watch your show every day religiously. My wife comes from home and goes, "Why are you watching this?" It's what I watch. My question for you is, with Dabo Swinney and Clemson. Now, I'm not a Clemson fan. I am a Gamecock. But I'm a sports fan. What has Dabo done for what seems to be you just to bash him and Clemson?
Well, Scott, Dabo hasn't done anything. I knew him pretty well. And I know this may surprise you a little bit, but I've always liked Dabo and known him since he was a walk-on at Alabama. We talk occasionally. In fact, he called me about a year ago about something that he didn't like, but we had a good conversation, and it ended amicably. So I would argue that I don't dislike him or hate him. Clemson, I have a little fun with. That's been a standing joke on the show. You should know that.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
But I will tell you this, Scott, of the many coaches that I know, and that would obviously include quite a few, some better than others, Dabo would be pretty high on my list of people that I like. So it may not always seem that way because we've gotten into a couple of public skirmishes, but that's more for entertainment than for terrible personal feelings.
I get that. And on your personal feeling, do you believe that when – the time comes and Saban steps down, that Dabo might be the next coach of Alabama?
Scott, I don't. Right now, I don't. Now, sometimes it entirely depends on who is in charge at Alabama and, where we are. I mean, Dabo could certainly, he doesn't need to ever really do anything else, but let's say he gets on another role like he was a couple of years ago and maybe he wants a new frontier, but as of today, and that's all I can base this on, I don't think he would be the replacement for Saban. Thank you very, very much. So let's continue. Ed is in North Carolina. Ed?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Thank you. Listen, I was listening to what you and Gentry had to say. One of the things that wasn't brought up that needs to be brought up when all this started with Tennessee is that they gave up 13 scholarship positions immediately.
Right.
When all this came out. And no one really has talked about that or really given an opinion on what they think is going to happen.
True. Yeah. I mean, you're right. They did. And I think they've taken, I don't know, because I don't follow Tennessee on a minute-to-minute basis, but it's pretty well known they've taken some other preemptive measures to try to lessen the blow. They didn't take the bowl game, which I think, was smart, but I do think they've curtailed visits, scholarships, a lot of things that smart schools do in trying to avoid the penalty.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think it's going to be that bad for them. Something's got to happen, obviously, but, you still have some people there that were involved with this in the administration. But, to penalize a team and a new coach, I just don't see that to be right, personally.
Well, thank you very, very much. Thank you a lot. Let's continue. Chris is in Jonesboro. Hello, Chris.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing great.
Well, my question is, what do you think about Arkansas being overlooked in the SEC as being in third place? It seems like the media is not talking about them as much.
Well, I think there's a sense that Arkansas' schedule is going to do them in, and I frankly think it comes down to one game, and that's the Texas A&M game, because if you're being objective, and if you think Arkansas is going to beat Texas A&M, you would rank Arkansas probably ahead of Texas A&M in doing the polling.
Last year, Arkansas did beat Texas A&M. And came within a few points of beating Alabama. So isn't there should be some optimism over the program?
Yeah, well, there should be. I agree with you on that. But for whatever reason, I don't know. I think Arkansas has the most difficult schedule in the SEC. And I'm not even talking about the Cincinnati game. I mean, that's a I almost said a word that would probably get me called into HR. That's a very difficult game. But I think the BYU game, I don't know the details. I'm assuming that's Jeff Long's leftover goods, but there's no one in their right mind would schedule a game like that in the middle of the season. Nobody. And by the way, Mississippi State did that a couple of years ago, but I don't remember who the athletic director was who did it, but you don't do that. That is a painful trip. It's difficult. We are long past the days of, I think that was a Friday night game. It doesn't matter what time you played the game. It's not worth playing. It's a difficult opponent, an impossible trip, and you don't schedule games like that in the middle of the season. You really don't like doing it at the beginning of the season, but at least if it's the first game, you can find a way to get over it with a cream puff the next week. We are coming back. Much more to come in our final 90 minutes. What a show it's been. We're back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We're glad you are here. And Dan is in Georgia. Hey, Dan. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well.
I wanted to compliment on how you interviewed Noah last Friday, because I deal with people that are in wheelchairs and have for in excess of 25 years. And the Noahs of the world, they just want a chance. They don't, you know, and it's not that people are mean. You don't know what challenges they face, and he just wants an opportunity. He's not a pity party guy. He's a lemonade guy. You can see he's happy and he's upbeat, but, yeah, he wants the opportunity to get in the game. And you talk to him like you talk to anybody else, which is the way I try to deal with these folks. You know, I mean, you're respectful, but you have to joke around a little bit and kind of make him one of the boys.
Dan, I appreciate your call, because I really enjoyed the conversation. And I think I'll never forget, as long as I live, the expression that Callie, who was next to him in watching, had, because she was enjoying it more than anybody, and I just fed off of that. And you know, it isn't you know it because you don't really know where to go, but this young man isn't here talking about his disability. He's talking about how to make it better for others.
Yeah, and I will say at Auburn has a pretty good assistive technology program. I'm familiar with it. I've been to some conferences down there. They're good folks.
Well, I'm glad you said that, and I so appreciate our people here, you know, Jamari and Danny, working to get and Hanner, who really was at the vanguard of us doing this a couple of years ago, getting the young people, because I just know when I was that age and I was these people, how intimidated and in awe I was of anyone who had a real job, let alone the opportunity to go on a program that could be seen and heard by a few people. So I know that was not exactly what you were asking. Let me ask you what you do. I'm particularly interested in your work.
If, you know, we're not going upstairs. If somebody's in a wheelchair and the family is physically lifting them, they're taking them from the bed to the chair to the bathroom, we'll put a motor and a track on the ceiling, and it's kind of like going to the dry cleaners, except you got people in it.
Okay. That's very interesting.
You know, to make it, to get it as simple, you know, it's a lot more involved than that, but in simple layman's terms, it's just kind of how it is.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that, Dan, and thank you for commenting on what you did. And we told Noah that we will probably be in Auburn in the front half of the season, and we want to see him again and Callie down there. Thank you very much. Let's continue. JD is in New York. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Can't believe I got through.
Well, we're glad you did.
And I tell you, you know, you're taking a two-week vacation. I was in serious withdrawal, and it was very hard for me. I'm calling you from New York, but I really live in Florida.
Okay.
And I know you hail from New York City somewhere or that area.
Yeah, in fact, I was there during that hiatus. So one of the places I always get a thrill to when I'm back in New York.
Yeah, I'm helping my daughter move into her apartment, and I'm not sure what's going on with New Yorkers, but it's a fourth floor. Well, she's in the fourth floor, they say.
Okay.
But I took four flights of stairs up here. Someone's lying. After that first flight, I look up, and it says apartment 1B, 1A, and all that, and I said, wait a second. And without an elevator, I mean, they're trying to kill
that.
Anyway,
by the way, this is just my New Yorkese in me. What part of the city is she in?
Upper West Side, just a block south of the Museum of Natural History and a block off Central Park.
I walked past it a couple of weeks ago. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. Anyways, I want to talk about the Gators this year. I absolutely have no idea what they're going to do. If they beat Utah, who knows? Maybe they could go to 10-2 this year. But if they lose, it could be a 6-6, 5-7 year. And, you know, the big unknown is, is the coach really a great coach, or is he a great coach in the minor league? And I think of McElwain, great coach in the minor leagues, but come up to the majors and just wasn't quite cut out for it. So I'm wondering, are the rest of the coaches going to be stealing the lunch money from our coach this year?
JD, the answer is nobody knows. I think he comes in with better credentials than McElwain. I think McElwain was, you know, living off of his Saban connection, where Napier, I think, he got this job not because of Nick Saban, but because of what he's done in Lafayette. But the schedule is a real issue. I think Florida is probably the most difficult school to analyze, and I know that there's a lot of optimism, but there's always a lot of optimism about Florida no matter what. And yeah, I mean, the first game is not the entire season, but I think the second game could be. If you lose the first game and then suddenly you're 0-2 and you're staring at a trip to Knoxville in a couple of weeks, which you know, could really just burst your bubble. Thanks for the call, and be careful about those stairs in the city. Let's check out Bill, who is in Florida. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good to speak with you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Big Auburn fan living here in Gainesville, Florida, so that's
sure.
A little tough.
That is unusual.
Just a couple of questions. You know, Brian Harsin coming into his second year at Auburn, I think everybody knows what he went through with his first year with all the trustees and all that, pardon my French, crap that he had to go through. But the expectations, from what I'm understanding, is everybody's picking us from, you know, right above Vanderbilt. I just see us doing a lot better. Wanted to get your opinion on what you think our season might be like, you know, with the players that we have, with Tank Bisbee and you know, the rest of the guys that are coming back. What do you think? Do you think our expectations are above, or, you know,
yeah, you know,
what are your thoughts?
I was talking the other day to Danny Sheridan, who does this for a living. He's a professional analyst and oddsmaker, among the best in the world, and he thinks the pundits have it all wrong. He's not predicting Auburn to win anything, but he thinks they'll come in a lot higher than the numbers. And I don't think there's enormous talent on that team, but you mentioned Bisbee. I think that's a world-class talent. The quarterback situation is in good shape,
yes, sir.
I think. And it's just a matter of then, as you go down the list, and you just have to hope. I think it's a really good start. I mean, the first two games are layups, and I think that's great, because you know your season is going to ride a lot in what happens after that. A win against Penn State, and then you should be able to handle the next game.
Absolutely.
It's not inconceivable that Auburn's undefeated going to Georgia.
Well, I mean, the blessing that we have, you know, five home games, you know, playing in Jordan-Hare is just an amazing place to play, and it's tough for the opponents. And I think Penn State is a big hurdle. And I if we can get past that game, and then we have, you know, LSU to round out everything at home, and then we get into the meat of the schedule. So I just am hopeful, and I'm a big Harsin fan. I have nothing but respect for that man and what he went through with him and his family. I think he held himself well during the media days, and that's why I was just asking your opinion.
By the way, Bill, I agree with you. I thought Harsin showed class, while the university showed, well, it rhymes with class. Let's take a break. More to come right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we have an hour and change on a Monday night. One more guest, but still plenty of time for your phone calls. Ron is in Virginia Beach. Good afternoon.
Paul.
Hey.
It is a great honor to be on your show for the fourth time, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It is our pleasure to have you here.
Yes, you know, let's talk about SEC football, because that's your channel, and I respect that. But I'm a little concerned about something. Let's go back here with Dabo Swinney.
Okay.
He got a $93 million contract. And ever since he's got that contract, Paul, he hasn't done anything. So what I'm getting at is, I'm going to ask you a question about Kirby Smart And I'm not going to down the man because I think he's a class act. And he's from Georgia. And he also was the defensive coordinator for Alabama and did well. But he got the $112.5 million contract. And I want to hear from you. What do you think? Is that going to jinx him like it did Dabo Sweeney?
These contracts are none of them really mean anything except that there's just an enormous amount of money. Here's why. You have the same agent negotiating all these deals. And you know what he does? He goes to Georgia with Kirby and says, hey, by the way, I did Nick's deal and I did Jimbo's deal. And you're not going to, you just won the national championship, so you need to do this. And then as soon as he finishes with Kirby, he goes to South Carolina and tries to get Shane Beamer more money, and he goes to the next guy. It's a vicious cycle, and the schools keep paying because they are there's not a lot of great coaches out there, and it's a circle game. Not what I was intending to say. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Silas is in Tennessee. Good afternoon,
Paul. Okay, Pat Forty article. Does it not seem a little bit like Pat Forty is pretty much saying that since Pruitt didn't go well, that us Volunteer fans should feel stupid for not wanting Greg Schiano? Correct or not correct?
Well, I think Greg Schiano is just a convenient thing to bring up. And, yeah, to this day, I may not
have called us out, Paul. Called us out a little bit.
Well, of course he called you out. But in the end, I've always felt the mistake wasn't so much Schiano. That happened. It was over with in a span of about 4 hours. But it was the decision later after Fulmer took over to hire Pruitt, who's, let's be honest, he's a dunce, okay? He hired Pruitt over Mel Tucker and Kevin Steele, two guys who are infinitely better qualified to run a program.
Fair, but the thing I have against Forty is he's calling out the fan base a little bit. And here's the thing.
Well, no, he was calling out the fan base a lot.
No was clamoring for Pruitt when Pruitt got hired. Sure, like maybe some people were supportive of it when it happened. But we weren't out there saying, Pruitt, we want Pruitt.
Hey, so Silas, let me ask you a question, though, because I was on a plane that day, and I was literally watching that unfold in real time. But can you explain why fans turned against Greg Schiano once certain people started connecting him to Sandusky and Paterno, which turned out not to be true?
Well, he said they're not true, but there's sworn testimonies that it was true. And, Paul, okay, let me give you this. He's on the Ohio State staff. They need an interim. He has head coaching experience from the Rutgers experience, Pat Forty was saying, and they still didn't take him. They took, I think it was Luke Fickell, who had no experience, gave him the job. They wouldn't even give Schiano the interim job. And now we're supposed to feel bad that we didn't want him? Come on. And plus, go Vols, man. Heupel, I got a good feeling about this year. I don't want to make this whole phone call negative. Love your show, Paul. Love Heupel, go Vols, but that's just my 2 cents.
Thank you. Ken is up next in Philadelphia. Hello, Ken. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
I have a question about Coach Pruitt. I cannot understand something. He had recruiting privileges at Alabama all the time. He was considered one of the best recruiters at Alabama. So this is what I've been told. I don't know that for a fact. Herbie Smart gave him an A++. And I think Phil Fulmer, Coach Fulmer, followed, Nick Saban and asked him, what do you think? And I think he took Nick Saban's advice. So anybody that puts all this blame on Coach Fulmer, is wrong, because he really and truthfully tried to do the right thing. What happened at Alabama? Why wasn't anything discovered out there if he was recruiting top players? And so why wouldn't Coach Fulmer accept him and bring him to Tennessee?
Ken, I'm going to leave that to Fulmer. I'm not saying Jeremy Pruitt was a disastrous choice, until it was a disastrous choice. I remember the night he got hired. I thought of the three, they were all very good. I thought the other two were slightly better, but Phil, it wasn't only that, it was Phillip's stewardship of it. He didn't manage Pruitt very well. And you know why he didn't manage Pruitt very well? Because Pruitt wouldn't listen to anyone. Absolutely okay. No one. He thought he knew it all, and they clashed. I remember sitting with Pruitt on the set of SEC Nation. I was trying to help the guy because I really did. I felt sorry for his lack of public skill. And I asked him a question. I said, you know, in terms of Coach Fulmer, he couldn't even answer a layup question about what he owed to Phillip Fulmer, because I think by then he had already turned on Fulmer. That's the dirty little secret here, that once Jeremy got the contract extension, he thought he knew it all, and he did, because he wouldn't listen to anybody up there. There are a lot of good-meaning people who tried to help him, who tried to educate him on common-sense moves, just in terms of communicating. And he failed at every level, and he obviously took shortcuts, which have now blown up on him, which in many ways mean he will probably never coach in college football again, which is too bad when you consider what a good coach he was, but the right call when you consider what an absolute disaster he was and how he abused everything.